Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Thank goodness it's folk on Sheffield Live Radio, and it is May. Welcome to May. Today on the program, Sam and I will be presenting some of our very favourite music, some May songs in the first half, and I'll be taking a look at the wonderful guitar playing of the late Wiz Jones, who sadly passed away earlier this week, and we honour him in the first half with three remarkable tracks from his life on the road. And we talk to Steve Hunt, who was not just a friend of Wiz, but a big fan as well of his style and of his guitar. And Steve will be talking to us about Wiz's amazing legacy and amazing life in the first half. And then in the second half, we are very lucky to have Sam Hindley presenting an hour of music that, in his own words, is music that he plays when he wants to feel happy, and music to lift his own mood. So I've no doubt it'll do the same for you. So I hope wherever you are, you can join us for 2 hours of Thank Goodness It's Folk here on Sheffield Live Radio, 93.2 FM in Sheffield, around the world on the internet, www.sheffieldlive.org, and later the whole program will be available on Mixcloud. Drop us a line if you're listening. Let us know you're listening on Facebook, and enjoy the program. You're with me, James Fagan, for the first hour, dedicated to the memory of Wiz Jones.
In the merry morning of May. singing in the main.
Indeed, welcome to May, and it's lovely to start the program with a May song, and that is the Padstow May song, sung by Lisa Knapp from her wonderful album, Till April Is Dead. I always love playing Lisa's album at this time of year, a good way to kick the show off, and happy May Day for yesterday, especially to anyone in the folk community who sung or danced the sun up yesterday. I'm always very grateful for people who get up and do Morris dancing at sunrise on May Day, so that we keep having sunrises. And big shout out especially to Pextan Morris and to Sheffield City Morris, who celebrated their 50th anniversary yesterday. Well done, Sheffield City Morris, and I'll be playing some of them in a moment on the program. Appropriate to start with something from Cornwall, because the person to whom we dedicate this program today, Wiz Jones, was very much in love with Cornwall and spent a lot of his early time there as a young beatnik with his guitar, and we celebrate his life. Very sad to hear that Wiz Jones passed away earlier this week. Wiz was an incredibly important pioneer of British guitar, and along with David Graham, credited with really pioneering a whole British guitar movement. He is celebrated by artists as well known as Eric Clapton, Rod Stewart and Jimmy Page, who all quoted him as an early influence, and was a contemporary of Bert Jansch, John Renborn, Ralph McTell, Martin Carthy, Clive Palmer, among others. As well as being a great finger picker, he was a great flat picker, and he was a great songwriter. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by my dear colleague and friend Steve Hunt to talk about Wiz Jones in a moment, and we're going to feature some tracks from Wiz's album A Life on the Road, 1964 to 2014. So let's start this section remembering and paying tribute to the great Wiz Jones with one of his most lovely songs, Happiness Was Free. And after we hear this, we'll talk to Steve Hunt about the late, great Wiz Jones.
I'm gonna sing a love song, you know I seldom do, so you better believe I mean what I say. Sing of all the good times on the road with you, and of how I love you still today. We were fast together, you were but a child, I was a young man careless as can be. There was nothing we couldn't do, no place we couldn't go, we were just young lovers and happiness was free. Remember all the people that befriended you and me. Remember all the songs we used to sing. And the nights that we spent hungry in fields beneath the sky. Nights in silken sheets fit for a queen. Remember tea and oranges and a summer sun so red. Remember a winter's morning oh so sad. Darkened hotel room on the Rue du Médecin, cried so hard for the child we never had. Of the years, I love you more and more. Think of you when I am far away. Of your honey-colored skin, laughter in your eyes, the way you move your body when the music starts to play. It's true I haven't always kept my faith with you, and sometimes I know that you have strayed. Long to see again your smile become a kiss. Long for you to turn my nights to day.
Wiz Jones with a song that I find profoundly moving, Happiness Was Free, and I'm playing that today from a compilation of Wiz Jones called A Life on the Road, which we looked at when it first came out some time ago, and I may have even talked to our guest Steve Hunt about it. Steve, I want to start by saying hello to you, and also before we talk about the great musician revered by so many, just some personal condolences to yourself, but also to the friends and family of Wiz, because beyond being a musician, he was primarily a great human being who seems to be beloved by many and will be missed by many.
Yes, he was. I mean, Wiz was definitely a one-off, an extraordinary musician, as you said. A very, very humble man, very kind man.
Yeah.
And also a world-class curmudgeon. Ralph Mattel used to refer to him very affectionately as Eeyore. I think Wiz really sort of made much of his successes. He was very much his own his own world was Wiz.
Indeed, Steve. I mean, one of the things I've been reading in the couple of days since I read about his passing, in fact, through yourself, and I'm glad to say that it was you who I found out through, because my connection to Wiz Jones is only really through you and through your great friendship and love of him and many people in his circle. And you've as well as knowing him personally, you've written about him, you've interviewed him, and so I was very glad that I found out the sad news through yourself. But a lot of what I've read seems to focus on this, that you know, that as well as all of the reverence and people talking about how he should have been more famous, the truth is,
yep,
he was a very successful jobbing, gigging musician. And I would like to focus on what he did achieve rather than what people thought might have been. Do you know what I mean?
I do, yes. I mean, I think as we go on, it's, you know, I didn't know Wiz well. I got to know him. I first encountered him in 1996 in Windsor, and I got to know him better in Cornwall, primarily through Pete Berryman, who, if people who are avid readers of album sleeve notes will know Pete as being the other guitar player on the early albums by Wiz, by Ralph McTell. Mm. Wiz worked with him in the famous Jug Band, all those kind of things. So I was fortunate, because I was lucky enough to do a little bit of recording and playing with Pete Berryman as well. So that brought me into Wiz's orbit a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, he was an absolute troubadour from the end of the 1950s onwards.
Yeah.
It was all about the gig and, you know, playing to people in a room. There wasn't a trace of showbiz about Wiz. He didn't play shows. He played gigs.
Mm.
It was to him an absolute vocation, as he said in that famous 1962 Alan Wicker interview that you can find on YouTube. You know, for him, it was about, all he wanted to do was play the guitar and travel.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, a lifestyle that he adopted very early and never wavered from that, you know, that commitment to that as a lifestyle.
Was he a nervous performer? I know Ralph McTell is a bit stage fright. Was Wiz like that, or was Wiz just in his zone all the time up there?
I didn't get the sense of that. I think although Wiz always downplayed his own status, he was secure in his abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that any room that Wiz arrived at to perform, he'd have the self confidence that he could do a job.
Yeah.
And he always did. You know what I mean? It was very little messing around with sound checks and things. Once he got his guitar plugged in and found a soundy light, then he'd just start playing and swing like crazy on the thing, and that would game on, you know?
Absolutely. There were aspects of his character that other people talk about a lot that they seem to find bemusing, like the fact that he stuck with the old original Epiphone guitar through thick and thin. But, I mean, anyone who really loves their guitar, why change? I mean, the things that some people find unusual are also highly highly admirable, aren't they?
They are. I mean, I think, again, coming back to Ralph McTell, who seems to have the most to say about this, because it was him that basically dragged Wiz into Denmark Street to purchase the Epiphone, because originally he was playing an old La Foley, which had become so split. You can actually see it on photographs that Wiz had effected a very luthier-like repair by gluing ice lolly sticks to the body of the thing, literally to hold it together. But, you know, again, it's that sense of being a jobbing musician, as you said. I think for Wiz, once he'd found the Epiphone that he liked the sound of, that was his tool that he took to work.
Yeah,
I suppose it'd be comparable to Rory Gallagher's Stratocaster.
Yeah.
You know, you find the one that works for you and you stick with it.
Steve, we've listened to the song Happiness Was Free, which is a beautiful reflection on a time which was obviously very important to Wiz, which was when he discovered the beatnik scene and started travelling to Cornwall a lot and started playing the guitar and playing in Paris as well. Do you think that time shaped him to the point that he never really was able to leave it behind, or do you think he did move on from those times?
That song, Happiness Was Free, is specifically about his now widow, Sandy.
Mm.
So, you know, it's about a specific individual as well and a lifelong love affair, which, as you say, I mean, they were very young when they were busking in Paris with Clive Palmer as well. Wiz and Clive would play and Sandy would bottle the money from the queues and what have you.
Yeah.
But he states, I mean, that sort of idea of the, you know, the beatnik lifestyle and the travelling and playing music, certainly that defined him for the rest of his life, I think, yeah.
Did anybody try to sort of corporatise Wiz at any point and failed spectacularly? Did anyone try and manage him?
Yeah. There was dealings with Joe Lustig, I think, about the time when Cobb's first album came out, Clive's original band, and yes. I forget which record label it was, but there was like various stars of could choose somebody else to promote. So Pentangle and Ralph produced some albums by COB, and I think Pentangle decided to, through Bert Jansch, wanted to promote Wiz a bit, and they sort of took them out of support acts and things like that.
Mm.
Later on, Wiz, I believe, was managed briefly by Bruce May, by Ralph's brother, who, you know, with typical sort of like pithy Wiz style, he'd occasionally recount in gigs saying that he was told, when he had a manager, he was told the first thing he had to do was to double his gig fee, and then he immediately had no gigs.
Yeah. I can imagine what Wiz's feeling was about all of that.
that never really worked out for him.
Steve, he didn't write a lot of songs, apparently only a dozen or so, but what an impact those songs have. They are, as well as being such a staggeringly good swinging, rhythmic fingerpicker and one of the defining pioneers of what became the British style, along with David Graham.
And a great flat picker too. I mean,
right.
First British bluegrass album with Pete Stanley, you know.
Right, indeed. But you're also looking at a songwriter whose smallish output was beautiful and was very significant, and they were deeply personal songs, as you've mentioned already with Happiness Was Free, and the one you'd like to play now is an incredibly personal song and with a story which if people haven't heard it is quite breathtaking, isn't it?
It is. A song of Wiz's I've always thought is, as you say, extraordinary. I know Steve Tilson agrees with this as well. He loves it. It's a song called Burma Star, which is about his father. I mean, it's extraordinary economy in the lyric. It's a whole huge movie in really just a couple of verses.
Mm.
I should probably explain to people who don't know, and I expect a lot of your listeners do, that the Burma Star was a medal given to British servicemen who served in the Burma campaign during the Second World War.
Yeah.
Between 1942 and 1945. And the way songs can trigger memories, when I first sort of heard Burma Star, I was thinking about the implications of it. I remembered my own childhood in the late 1960s when the first Datsun cars were being sold in this country. And men of my father's generation, slightly older, didn't want Japanese things at all, specifically because of what had happened in the building of the Burma Railway and the thousands of deaths of Allied prisoners of war and all that kind of thing. So it's a heavy song, but it's also a really personal song. You've got against that, you've then got this image of a six-year-old child having his feet washed.
Mm.
And I think the other poignant layer of this as well is Wiz is singing beautifully the memories of his father, and the song also contains beautiful saxophone part played by his son, Simeon.
Thank you, Steve. This is Burma Star.
About 6 years old, a knock at the door, and that was the night. No bedtime stories were told. The night that my dad came home, so lucky to be alive. Listed as missing in 42. Oh, how my mother cried. Out on the porch for an hour or more, underneath the red, white and blue. Me waiting inside with the water so cold, I didn't know what to do.
Amazing song, Steve. What an amazing song that is. Burma Star, thank you so much for choosing.
It truly is, isn't it?
It's extraordinary. And as you say, you don't need to tell the story first. He's such a great storyteller. And I think that's worth reflecting on. Wiz Jones is so famous for playing the guitar, but he's a beautiful singer. And he's, you know, I much prefer, not that it's a competition, but I'd rather hear him sing a Bert Jansch song than Bert himself. I just think Wiz is a wonderful singer.
Absolutely, and I think grew into it. I mean, from his early recordings, he became more confident as a singer, I think.
Mm.
But he had that ability to put such a big story across in so few words.
Yeah.
And with, you know, even in lines like to say, I was a man with an easy life, when by like modern standards, you'd probably say he was raised in something approaching poverty.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then I didn't have to go to war. And you think, well, yeah, that's...
Yeah, indeed. Steve, let's reflect then on his legacy. It's a word that people use a lot after famous people pass away. But I think it's fair enough to say that Wiz Jones genuinely does have a great legacy when it comes to the guitar. Perhaps you could reflect on that.
He does. And I mean, one of the things that he was most enthusiastic about doing in his later years was running his own sort of showcase club nights in London, where he would put on gigs with himself and other particularly young guitar players.
Yeah. Yes, he was very encouraging of young players, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He would, you know, and would recommend them to other gig promoters and to happily play duo sets with them, what have you. I know people like Darish Kanani benefited very much from that association with Wiz, Jason Steele as well, and you know, loads more besides.
Yeah.
John Smith.
Luke Jackson, I believe.
Did quite a lot with Wiz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely, and people like Henry Parker, of course.
Steve, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about Wiz Jones in the sad news of his departure just a couple of days ago, aged 86, is that you had the great pleasure of interviewing Wiz for an article for F Roots magazine, and it was a feature article, and you also spoke to some of the people who have talked openly in the last couple of days about how much they'll miss him, including Steve Tilston and Ralph McTell. But you spoke to Wiz himself during that interview. What was your impression about how he perceived this sort of reverence from these other guitarists in terms of, I know you said he was a curmudgeon, but you've also said that he did recognise clearly that he had a skill. He wasn't completely immune to his own talent, surely.
Oh, no, of course not. He's a pivotal figure, really, as the link in the chain from when music, when folk music was coming out of the jazz clubs via skiffle.
Yeah.
You know, Wiz was around then. He was going to gigs in the days of, like, the Chris Barber Band and Ken Collier and Lonnie Donegan and all of that.
Yeah.
And he got to see people like Ramblin' Jack Elliott, who was a great influence on him as a storytelling singer.
Mm.
He got to see Big Bill Brunsey and Muddy Waters and people like that, Peggy Seeger and Ewan McColl, all those people. And he was then, being this beatnik guy who travelled around a lot, he then became a focus for other people like Rod Stewart, Eric Clapton, Keith Richards, all of whom have name-checked him. I mean, Keith Richards famously in his autobiography talking about being, you know, how he looked up to Wiz as being a, you know, an example of what he wanted to become.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Wiz was so honest, but he never made capital out of that because he honestly couldn't remember meeting him.
Yeah.
You know, he met thousands of young guys with guitars who were going to art college who wanted to, you know, learn how to play National 7 or how to play Angie or, you know, so, you know, he wouldn't actually just, like, you know, lie about it and say, oh, Keith and I were great friends, you know, or myself and Rod and all the rest of it. And, you know, he used to busk initially with Long John Baldry, you know, and people like that. So he did. You know, he does remember meeting Eric Clapton. He knew him before Eric was even in the Blues Breakers. Yeah. All these kind of things. But where the people, you know, the Jeff Becks, Eric Clapton, Keith Richards, sort of went into the electric blues and rock and roll. Wiz just stuck with that acoustic guitar, maybe a bit of banjo, a little bit of mandolin. And that was it. I strongly suspect he never owned an electric guitar.
There you go.
You know, I've never seen him with one, and I'm not sure that anybody else has. And the only person who could possibly correct that is Ralph McTell, but I suspect he just wasn't interested in that whole idea of plugging in. And that's sort of how you became famous, unless you were, you know, in Pentangle. But, you know, even they plugged in.
Steve, the album A Life on the Road is a great compilation, 1964 to 2014. And for anybody who doesn't have any of Wiz's music, that CD is a great starting point if they want to get it, isn't it?
I'd say that's all the essential stuff's on there. It's, what is it, 23 tracks?
Yeah.
Which, you know, he recorded for quite a lot of small record labels over the years, for Ian Anderson's Village Thing in Bristol and for Werner Lammerhurt label in Germany and things like that. And that scooped up pretty much all the essential wizardry, I think.
Indeed, and I suppose we shouldn't go without mentioning that Bruce Springsteen played When I Leave Berlin to 50,000 people when he toured in Germany. Unfortunately, he didn't credit Wiz on stage, but I know that he knew because he'd heard Wiz sing that song many, many years before. That's a lovely thing for Wiz to have known in his life, I'm sure, although the impact of it, I'm sure he probably underplayed as well.
I think by that point in his life and career for Wiz, it was just one more thing of the, you know, the fact that he didn't actually get the credit for it and drive a bit more traffic to his own music was just yet another sort of wry anecdote, you know.
Yep.
But of course he was delighted that Bruce Springsteen performed the song, as he was delighted that the Furies had an Irish hit with the Night Ferry.
Yeah, indeed.
And things like that. So he's... I think Wiz was grateful for the recognition, but he was long past sort of expecting any kind of you know, fame and adulation for it.
Steve, there's one thing that's for certain, and that's while he might not have won any of the specific, very, let's face it, small in the grand scheme of things, awards or achievements that other artists may have been awarded, there's absolutely no question that Wiz Jones will be remembered forever in guitar circles and in music circles generally, and linked alongside some of the greatest names in folk guitar and blues guitar.
Absolutely. I mean, you've mentioned Bruce Springsteen. I'm always surprised when somebody else crops up as being influenced or affected by Wiz's work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it makes sense that Martin Carthy would be such a,
yeah,
you know, so vocal in his sport of Wiz. But I mean, this week, just looking through the amount of tributes on Instagram, people like Thurston Moore, you know, who, another great Wiz Jones fan. And he's one of those, as you're saying, musicians whose influence I think will always be around. He's as a guitar player, you know, within the first 5 seconds you're listening to Wiz Jones.
Yep. Well, that brings us to this fantastic track. You mentioned Big Bill Brunsie, and famously Wiz is described as having a right thumb worthy of Big Bill Brunsie. You've chosen a track which is clearly influenced by Big Bill. Do you want to tell us about this track, The Glory of Love?
Well, I think it's in the notes to that album you mentioned, A Life on the Road, that Wiz first heard Brunsie playing this on a TV show in the 1950s, and it's from Big Bill Brunsie's playing that we get that distinctive sort of dampened thumb, Jones thump that many have tried to emulate and no one's quite succeeded.
Yeah.
But that extraordinary way of providing that great rhythmic bass drive that underpins his playing. And I think Glory of Love was, I've saw Wiz so many times. I think I'd seen him at least by July 1996. Cause I've got a signed CD here, and so, you know, best part, I think every gig I saw Wiz playing at, he probably played Glory of Love. Quite often to play it right at the beginning, almost as a sort of warming up piece, just because he was so comfortable, he could just fall into that intro on the guitar. It was also the song that Sandy used to pass around the hat for in the backing gigs, apparently. Because it always, I've never seen it fail to lift an audience.
Fantastic.
You know, I've seen him playing to very, very aged people in Cornish folk clubs, and you can see these people suddenly becoming 19 in front of your very eyes, like they were in the folk cottage in Mitchell, the first time they heard Wiz play it. It's always the song, he always lit up the room with this song, and I think it's just such a lovely, uplifting recording by him.
Well, Steve, thank you very much, my guest Steve Hunt, and my dear friend Steve Hunt, and love to you and to Carmen from Sam and myself and from Nancy, and hope to see you very soon, and we can listen to Wiz Jones together.
I hope so too. Thank you for having me on, and you know, Wiz is gone, but long live Wiz Jones, eh? One of the greats.
One of the greats, Steve. Here is Glory of Love.
Cheers.
little. I know you'll have the blues a little, oh baby. That's the story of love. That's the glory of love.
Christ has died for all our sins, for he loved us so dear.
Dear, so dear, he loved us so dear. Christ has died for all our sins, for he loved us so dear.
So dear, so dear, has Christ loved us that for our sins he was slain. He bade us turn from wickedness and turn to the Lord again,
again, again, and turn to the Lord again. He bids us turn from wickedness and turn to the Lord.
Been wandering all this night and some parts of this day, and now returning home again, I brought you a bunch of May.
May, oh May, I brought you a bunch of May. Now returning home again, I brought you a bunch of May.
A bunch of May I've brought you here, and by your door it stands. It's barely a sprout, but it's well budded out, the work of our Lord's hands.
Hands, his hands, the work of our Lord's hands. It's barely a sprout, but it's well budded out, the work of our Lord's hands.
Why don't you do as we have done the very first day of May? From my parents I have come and can no longer stay.
Stay, oh stay, I can no longer stay. From my parents I have come and can no longer stay.
Another great May song, The May Song, as sung by Nick Hart from Nick Hart Sings 10 English Folk Songs. A wonderful singer from the West Country, Sue Harding, who Nancy and I had the great pleasure of knowing and seeing a lot when we used to live in Bath, and we used to see Sue around the place singing, and she is a great singer and a great guitar player as well. She's released a few albums over the years, and she has a brand new album out now, which I can thoroughly recommend. It's called The World, and she takes the name of that album from a tarot card. The first song on the album is absolutely wonderful. It's called Barflies. It's extremely atmospheric. And it's a real showcase of Sue's guitar and unique vocal ability. She's such an engaging singer and a characterful singer. And the song is, well, I'll read you what she says about this song because it's great. "Every time I play this song to an audience," says Sue, "I tell them it's about old folks behaving badly in bars. This is true. But it's also a joyous celebration of resilience in the face of the inevitable. Let's dance while we can seems to me to be the only way. We had a lot of fun in the studio creating the arrangement. I told Will I wanted it to sound as if an amazingly talented but louche band have come to the last songs of a late, late night and are rather the worse for drink." It's only 10:45, so in the morning, Sue. So I'm still putting the caffeine in before the next beer, but the song is very much a night song. Enjoy.
Stepping out again into all the dark, got my snakeskin shoes.
Sue Harding. Hi, Sue. Thank you so much for sending that album through to Thank Goodness It's Folk. And it's really lovely to hear your voice again. And we wish you all the very best with your album, The World. Check out Sue Harding. And it's Bandcamp Friday. So if it's on Bandcamp, you should get it today. I want to send out a massive birthday hug to my sister, Kate, on the other side of the world in Australia. And it will be her birthday on the 6th of May. So that will be Tuesday. So, Kate, this is for you. We discovered this artist at about the same time. But I actually first met Sheila McDonald many years before I heard her sing. Steve Hunt who was my guest earlier on. He introduced me to Sheila McDonald at Sidmouth a few years ago. So thank you, Steve. And also to Nikki Campbell, who gave me a copy of one of her rare vinyl albums recently, which sparked my interest in the music of Sheila McDonald. Here she is with Crusoe and Happy Birthday, Kate Fagan.
You say it's time to go, you've always stayed, you're welcome. The wind is right, time to set sail, far across some ocean. And take a look in through your window, babe, look well at what you see. There's a storm in there raging, too soon set out for sea. Cruise was a man who sailed away till he could sail no further. He sailed away and asked the waves that which time only had the answer. And you've seen many storms, my friend, before you reach Split Island. So stay with me a while until the storm is over. Ask yourself, have you been here before? Are they your footprints there below you? You've been this way so many times, oh, you know the road that lies before you. And you just say there's nothing for you, there's nothing you can alter. And your words, they've lost the power to touch those who can help you. And you say it's time to go, you've always stayed, you're welcome. Wind is right, time to set sail, far across some ocean. And take a look in through your window, babe, look well at what you see. There's a storm in there raging, too soon to set out for sea.
Some sunny days are made for keeping. Blue sky goes straight to your heart and lets you breathe. I dreamed last night I met you on a stage. All the lights were down and we played to a solitary world of our own choosing. If you could be my, I could see your hidden. If I could be your ears, you could hear my inner nature, my inner nature.
Someone's tearing all the billboards down. The whole town's running up flags of elation. Sweet poets of fortune are coming to stay. The streets are gonna rage like rivers of wine. The day's spinning on a high trapeze, and a thousand red stars are shooting this way. If you could be my eyes, is this what I would see? If I could be your ears, would you hear Mother Nature? Mother Nature. Spent in praise of false disciples and crooked sermons, never too late to fly away. Your life's in the hands of the prophets of melody. So temple when no one's gonna ask you to get down on your knees and pray.
Was my sister Kate Fagan, whose birthday it is on Tuesday. Happy birthday, Kate. I love that song. That's from her album Inner Nature. That's the title track. And sending my big love. And wish I could see you soon, Kate. We'll have to make that happen as soon as we can. I said it was May Day yesterday as the show goes out. And indeed it was. And one of the things that happens on May Day around Sheffield is that Sheffield City Morris and Pexatan got together and danced up the sun yesterday. You have to get up really early to do it. Sorry I wasn't there, but it was a very special May Day this year for Sheffield City Morris because they are celebrating their 50th anniversary. And so with thanks to Billy Catt, who runs the very excellent Sheffield Folk Guide, which, may I quickly remind you, includes tonight's gig with the smashing Tim Van Eyken and lovely Nancy Kerr and myself playing at St Andrew's Church on Salter Lane. Please do come down if you can. We'd love to see you tonight. At St Andrew's Church. Oh, the Mr. Whippy van's going past. Don't get distracted, James. But that is enough to make anybody want to run outside into the sun, as is Sheffield City Morris. Here they are to round off this half with Dave Eyre calling us on. And we'll see you after the break with Sam Hindley. I'm going to go and get an ice cream.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again we stop the roar of the city's traffic to bring you a display of rhythmic grace and athletic precision, the traditional English sport of Morris dancing.